have the notes handed out. I'll give a little announcement as we're doing that. The next three Sundays, we won't be having separate Sunday school. We're kind of in a rotation of sorts. We go through our mini-series, if you will, covering one of the disciplines of disciples. So we're finishing our second one. We did a Bible immersion. Immersion in the Word, and then we're just finishing continual prayer. And then we have a two-week period where which we meet together. One of those Sundays we'll have communion during the Sunday school time. And that'll probably be 2 weeks from today. Next week, I'm not sure yet. It's not a lack of things to talk about. It's trying to narrow it down. So it's not a worry there. But we'll meet together next Sunday during the Sunday school time. And then on the Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're just going to have one joint service, or one service rather than two for that. And then we begin our third discipline, basic disciplines of believers, and it's the discipline of submitting to authority. And it's a huge one that I think in our Western culture is somewhat lost. And we'll talk about that more, but it's a good study, and we'll be able to study that in the different age groups for our next Sunday school series. That'll begin the week after Easter, which will be April 19th. So, okay, so if you have questions about that, you can give me a holler afterwards as well. So we're not sure if we're going to do 10, 11, or 12 disciplines, but we're kind of going through a series for each one of those disciplines, but there's lots of different ones, but we're trying to cover the most important ones and kind of build the foundation as we go. I did change, those of you that are ones that read the bulletin from cover to cover, I did change the title of the sermon today. I told my wife, you never finish studying, you just run out of time, and I was going to present a study on 1 John 1, and I believe I'll do that next Sunday, but I needed to lay a little more foundation. We're still talking about light. We're in the book of Genesis, ultimately, and the series that we have in Genesis is called Genesis Foundations. And what we're presenting is our basis is that everything that we know and understand can only be properly grasped if we understand Genesis. Even the concept of light, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that stems off of the darkness was over the face of the deep in the previous verse in Genesis 1. But all the way through Scripture, God uses creation terminology. And if you do not understand the creation account, you miss the impact of the rest of Scripture. When God talks about calling us out of darkness into His light, for example, He's using creative terms. He's using terms right from creation. And you have to understand those in order to really fully grasp what He's talking about in the New Testament. But everything that you really know and understand is built upon Genesis 1, 2, and 3 primarily in one way or another. And we'll highlight that a little more today. I introduced the idea of physical and spiritual light 2 weeks ago. Pastor Sean brought it out in Ephesians 5 last week. And now I'm going to talk a little more on light, and then I'm going to help you understand what it means next week as far as actually putting it to practice. So we'll hit on that. But the title of today's sermon is Our Need of God's Light. Okay? So I'm going to read the passage there that's right at the top of your notes, then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the notes here. Father, we do ask that You would help us to understand Your Word. Lord, it is deeper than I had ever imagined, and it's just unfathomable, unable to be measured, unable to be mined out. And Lord, the more I study, the more I am amazed at how beautifully complex your word is and how it just weaves together the truth of you. And again, Lord, I pray that you would help us to grasp this in some small way today. Lord, help us to understand the light of creation and how it relates to our walk. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, notice He's using light and darkness again, just themes throughout the Scriptures. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's 1 John 1, 5 through 10. That'll be our text next week. We'll look at it some today, but not as a single entity like we will next week. We're going to talk about God's light. We have three main points. What does the light do? Who or what is the light? And what do we do with the light? Pretty simple, pretty basic, but it lays the foundation for our message next week. What does the light do? Basically, two things. We looked at light in more extensive detail. We gave you six things that it did 2 weeks ago. But two key factors here, two key accomplishments for light. Number one, or letter A here, light reveals. Light reveals, and to understand the New Testament concept of light based upon the creation account of light, you have to understand that light reveals. Darkness was over the face of the deep in Genesis 1-2. You couldn't see anything. In original creation, as it stood, God created the heavens, if you will, space, and the earth, if you will, matter. But that was it. There was nothing holding it together. There was nothing to heat it, nothing to be able to make it visible. Light reveals. And what we mean by that, God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. And that a key passage here, I like to let Scripture explain Scripture, is Ephesians 5:13. It's in your notes there. But all things that are exposed are made manifest, or if you will, are shown by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever reveals is light. So light is something that reveals. Light is something that makes manifest. Light is something that shows things that otherwise you could not see. Pastor Sean relayed the idea of, you know, walking in the dark last week. You need the light to be able to see what's going on. And that's exactly what God relates when He talks about light in Scripture. Now let's look. What does light reveal? Number one underneath there, God's light shows us. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. By the way, most of the references you'll see today are from John. There's a reason for that. I think I left it in your notes up at the top. It says John, and there's a bunch of like cryptic stuff. But out of the times used, I can't remember, I don't even know if I count them, 70-some times maybe in the New Testament, John is 32 of those times, either in the Gospel of John, 1 John, or the Book of Revelation, where it uses the word phos. We get the word photo. Phos is light. He talks about light. He talks in way more detail than even Paul does, combining all of Paul's epistles together. So a lot of references are or from John, and there's a reason for that. He talks about the light of God over and over. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. John 3 is huge when it comes to light. There's several key passages. John 3 is one of them. Notice this, and again, all of these references are in your notes. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Why? This is huge when it comes to understanding what light and darkness are. And again, it builds on Genesis. There's darkness. You can't see anything. There is nothing of value. And then God says, let there be light. And there was light. And He builds on that when He comes into the New Testament and He says, the light has come into the world and men love darkness. They like that nothing. They like that not being able to be seen stuff. They love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone, notice, practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Understand that light reveals right and wrong. And understand, too, that people that do things in secret are indicating that their actions are wrong. They love darkness rather than light. One of the things I heard, and I can't even remember where I heard it recently, but the idea of the concept of integrity. Integrity is doing what you would do in private, what you would do in public. The idea that there's no difference what you do hidden from people as you do in front of people. The idea of darkness and light. You want to be hidden? That's the concept of, if I'm doing something that I want to be hidden for, that is the idea of sin. Darkness, men love darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. We should want to say, God, reveal what I do. Examine what I do. Find out what I do. But we should be able to shout from the housetops what we do in private. In fact, as I understand Scripture, that's what will happen anyway. Isn't that what God says? Those things that are done in secret will be shown in the light, ultimately. So the idea of God's light shows us what is right and wrong. And you get the idea then that people do not want to ultimately hear the Word of God. They do not want to bring themselves before accountability or authority because their deeds are evil. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now, it's only implicit here. The rest of the passage talks more about the sinfulness and how sin does not go with light, if you will. Righteousness does not go with sin. Light does not go with darkness. But the idea is the two are separate. The two are different. The two are incompatible. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. And the answer to Paul's question is, what fellowship has light with darkness? The answer is absolutely none. The idea is that sin has no compatibility with righteousness. Darkness has no compatibility with light. There's right and there is wrong. And in our day, people say, oh, there's no real truth. There's no real right. There's no real wrong. And you're rejecting the very foundation of the Word of God. Darkness and light do not mix. Truth and error do not mix. Righteousness and sin do not mix. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. 1 John 2. I don't know if we'll get to 1 John 2 that much next week, but you'll see it a couple times this week. John says this, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light. We'll talk about that more next week, but you'll hear that phrase over and over again today. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. Here's a concept of light and then a behavior idea. Hates his brother, is in darkness until now. He's not in the light, he's in the darkness. He who loves his brother abides or remains or dwells in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, light reveals what is right and wrong. Light reveals how we are to act. What is correct behavior? What is wrong behavior? So what does the light do? The light reveals. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. We wouldn't know that unless God told us that. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. Number two, God's light shows us what is true and false. God's light shows us what is true and false. Those are related. Jesus said in John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, there's a behavioral term, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, knowing where to go, what is right and wrong, what is true and false. You'll be able to see what is true. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Almost lifting that out of the creation account itself. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't really told you what the light is yet, but it has to do with truth. It has to do with knowledge. Okay? The light shows us what is true and false. 1 John 1, 5-7, we've read the larger context today, but let me read this again. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The Greek is not one instance, not one little bit. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice what? The truth. So light has something to do with the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, again, there is in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So God's light shows us what is true and false. God reveals what we otherwise would not know ourselves. Light reveals. God's light shows us what we cannot otherwise know. God's light shows us what is right and wrong. God's light shows us what is true and false. So what does the light do? Light reveals. Letter B, light guides. Light guides. It isn't just to show you something. It's to lead you somewhere. God's light shows us how to walk. It's a behavioral idea. God's light shows us how to walk. Number one. This one's kind of I didn't know where else to put it, but life requires God's light. Life requires God's light. We've already read John 8:12, but let me read it again. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It seems that you have two choices. There's not 10 choices. There's two. You're either in darkness or you're in light. You're either walking, not knowing where you're going, or you have the light of life. Life requires God's light. In order to have any clue, you have to have God's light. Light guides. You're not walking in, you're either walking in darkness or you're walking in God's light. That's the two choices of life. Number two, without God's light, we stumble. Without God's light, we stumble. This is true of the unsaved person, and this is also true of the saved person. Why? Because you can live rejecting God's light as a saved person, can you not? John 11, 9 and 10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. He's using an illustration of the sun, and you walk around and you don't stumble because you have the light. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If we don't have light, we trip and fall. And that is a guarantee, folks. We've said this before, over and over. You cannot come to God's conclusions without the Word of God. That is why it is absolutely essential to be immersed in the Word of God, because our perception does not produce light. Apart from God's light, we are living in darkness. We are living by means of darkness. And we cannot come to God's conclusions without the Word of God. 1 John 2:11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He can't see where he's going. And again, folks, if you're saved, praise the Lord. That's a start. But being saved does not light your way. Being in the Word lights your way. You have to be walking in the light or by means of the light in order to have that. One is birth, one is behavior. One is salvation, one is sanctification. One is being born into the family of God. The other is behaving in the family of God. And you need the continual light of God's Word to do that. Number three, without God's light, we are lost. Lost, kind of referred to in 1 John 2:11 just previously there. John 12:35, Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. While you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Excuse me, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Let me emphasize this again. You need the light, ultimately, of God's Word to have any real clue of where you are going. Otherwise, you are stumbling and you are lost. Even if you think you know, you do not know. You have the same darkness that you are dwelling in if you are not immersed in the Word of God. What does the light do? Tell me. First one, light reveals. It shows things. You turn the light on and, oh, there it is. Then light what? Guides. It shows the way. Okay, it's not intended just to light things up. It's intended to point the way. Flip your notes over. Number two here, main point number two. Who or what is the light? This isn't too hard. You could probably fill in all these blanks. Maybe you already have. Who or what is the light? I wanted to throw this in. It wasn't even part of my sermon originally. The Word. I'm tying it in with the Word of God. There's two points underneath there. Letter A, the Word which became flesh. And letter B, the Word which was inspired by God. There's the living Word, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, if you will, the Word made flesh, and then there's the written Word, the Word of God, the Bible. Okay, let's look at letter A, the Word which became flesh. John 1, and notice again, so much is spoken about light. John 1, verses 4 through 9. In Him, Jesus Christ, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus Christ is identified as the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We'll be back to that concept a little later. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptizer. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Okay, so Jesus is that light. John 8:12, we've read it, I think, twice. Here's the third time. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And notice, you might want to circle the word the. What is the significance of a definite article? He's excluding any other light. He's not a light. He's what? The light. Yeah, He's the only light. It's not possible for false religions or humanism or whatever, which is a religion, to produce light. It's only how much darkness you have at that point. Without Jesus Christ, people are in the dark. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, he seemed to limit it to time here. As long as I'm in the world. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And there's the quality idea. Lightness versus darkness. So Jesus is the light. Now letter B here, the Word which was inspired by God is also the light. You're familiar with Psalm 119, verses 105 and 130. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, David wrote. It shows me close up where to walk, and it shows me the direction to go. What a beautiful picture of the Word of God. Verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So the Word, the entrance of God's Word gives light. John 17:17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If you relate this passage to light, you see that it overlaps a lot. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look at James chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Now, I'm going to stop here just for a minute. The word save is used multiplied different ways in the Word of God, at least four different ways. One is physical deliverance. One is past tense salvation. I was saved. One is, if you will, present tense salvation. We call it sanctification. I am being saved. And ultimately, final salvation, when God calls us home at the rapture, okay? That's final salvation. Our bodies are still sinful or infected, so we're not, the process isn't complete yet. This passage here talks about the middle one. We're being saved, which is able to save your souls, if you will, to sanctify your lives. Notice it's not a belief It is a behavior that it's calling for, and sanctification is based upon belief and behavior, not belief alone, which salvation is. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You're not saved by doing in an eternal salvation sense, but you are sanctified by doing, by being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Notice, to continue in the perfect law of liberty. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by thereby. 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And the last one here that relates to the word of God, 1 John 2:14, John says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The idea that the word of God is dwelling in them. So you have the idea of what does the light do? Light reveals. It tells us things that we cannot know otherwise ourselves. Light guides. What is the light? Who or what is the light? It's the Lord Jesus. While he was on earth, the Bible says, he was the light. And now it's the word, the written word. He was the word made flesh, and now it's the written word that gives us the light. And number three here, what do we do with the light? What do we do with the light? Letter A doesn't really answer that question, but it does have to be there. Light is universally needed. Needed by everyone. That's John 1:9, which says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every person needs the light. Just like creation needed the light, every human being needs the light as well. What do we do with the light? Letter B, we need to understand the light. We need to understand the light. We're back in John chapter 1. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not what? Comprehend it or understand it. Light needs to be understood. Letter C, we need to believe in the light. So light, basically, if I were to use a single word definition for light, I would call it truth. And by extension, I would say the only truth that you can be sure of is found in the Word of God. You hear people argue that all truth is God's truth, and I don't deny that. There's just no way to verify that apart from the Word of God. You cannot try to align your ideas with science, because science may or may not be true in any given theory or whatever. God's word is true because it comes straight from God. You need to believe in the light. John 1:7, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Light is intended to be believed. What do we mean by believe? I guess that's a good question. But to affirm it as true and act upon that affirmation, to say that it's true. what God says is true. John 12:36, while you have the light, Jesus said, believe in the light. So light is content, light is truth, and the only truth that you can have ultimately is what is revealed in the Word of God. Believe in the light that you may become sons of light. There's the birth idea there. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Last week, Pastor Sean talked about walk as children of light. There's the idea. You are light. You were sometimes darkness. Now are you light. Walk as children of light. There's the birth. There's the behavior that ties in together. There's the belief part here. Believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Sons of truth. Sons of powerful truth. We'll talk about that more next week. John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide, dwell, remain in darkness. It's an ongoing belief that God is calling us to. Not just the belief of birth, but the belief of ongoing life and behavior. We need to understand the light. We need to believe the light. Letter D here. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. And in the light can be also translated by the light or by means of the light. Both are true. If you're walking with the flashlight, you walk so you by means of the light, but you're walking also in the light, so you can see it. It's the same thing. We'll talk about it in more detail next week. But 1 John 5:7, as kind of an end to this sermon, but also an introduction to the next one. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light. Otherwise, what's our other option? Help me out again. If we're not walking in the light, we are what? Walking in darkness. It's an active, ongoing action that we do. We're going to get into more detail next week in 1 John 1. I really like 1 John 1, so that's where I was going. But I felt I had to lay this foundation. So light reveals. Light is what reveals. We need the light to show us what is true and what is untrue or false. We need the light to show us what is right and what is wrong. If we are not in the Word, we cannot discern what is right or wrong. We cannot discern what is true or false. That is absolutely ground forming. It is the basis on which every decision needs to be made, every thought needs to be nailed down or rejected. This has to be from the Word of God. Light guides. God gave us the Word of God not just to get us into His family, but to help us to live with the delight and benefit of being in His family by living as children of light, as Pastor Sean talked about last week, not just being born and then, if you will, being a vegetative Christian of not walking by means of the light. So light reveals. It shows us what we cannot know otherwise, and it guides us. It shows us how to walk. What is the light? Jesus is the light. It's clear in Scripture. And then this is the Word of God. He's the incarnate Word. This is the written Word. You have to be in the Word of God. You cannot rely on your own understanding, the Bible says. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. I think of Psalm chapter 1, which is probably one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, but it talks about blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. It's a rejection of the world's darkness, if you will. But it goes on to say, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates every Sunday morning during the service. Is that what it says? It says He meditates in it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. The same concept there. The Word of God is the light of life. And then what do we need to do with the light? I'll just highlight the two. We need to believe what God says, and we need to walk on the basis of what God says. We got to take what God says as the truth, and then we need to act upon that truth. We'll talk about that more next week. We've got a few minutes extra here, and I was kind of hoping for that. I want the kids that were here Wednesday to come up. We taught them a little song called God's Light. It's a goofy song, but it's a cute song. So if you were in FWAP Wednesday, I'll take my big kids too. Thomas, you can help, right? You were in Abigail? Over here. Yeah, did I say come up? Yeah, they're taking me literal. Let's come over here. Let's stand up here. We actually march on Wednesdays and we end up here, so they're used to this anyway. I need your help. Stephen and Josh, you can help me. They were in here. Abby, come on up. I need your help. Yes, Guy is here. All right. I was going to ask that he come down and I forgot. So, okay. Remember the song we sang Wednesday? Let's do something else first. Ready? You ready? I'm going to call you to attention. You ready? You got to stand on one step or the other, though, Guy, for that. Right? We practice a little bit of military procedure on Wednesdays, too. We march around and we end up here and do a little practice. So, ready? Attention! Parade, rest. Yeah. Attention. Parade, rest. At ease. There we go. That's pretty good. Okay, we're going to sing the song, Having No Darkness, God is Light. Remember that one? Okay, and you remember the actions to it too? You got that already? Okay, ready? And if we sing it well, maybe we can teach the adults to sing it too. You think so? Ready? It just goes like this. Having no darkness, God is light. God's light shows us what is right. God's light shows we need the Savior. God's light shows what's good behavior. God's light shows others who we serve. God's light is found in His wonderful Word. Okay, that's good. Good first time through, okay? Are you scared, Abigail? I didn't think so. I didn't think you were scared of anything. Okay, let's try it again, all right? I think you were louder on Wednesday, were you? Were you louder on Wednesday? Okay, let's see. Having no darkness, God is light. God's light shows us what is right. God's light shows we need the Savior. God's light shows what's good behavior. God's light shows others who we serve. God's light is found in His wonderful Word. They were louder on Wednesdays. Let's stand. We're going to sing this song. We're going to teach you. It kind of covers some of the key elements. The first is having no... I was doing it wrong, wasn't I? That's what probably confused you. Having no darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, right? Having no darkness, you wave your finger. And then God is light. Okay, your hands go out. God's light shows us what is right, right? It reveals what is right and wrong. It reveals what is true and false, right? God's light shows we need, I had to shrink them down to fit the right syllables and stuff. God's light shows we need a Savior. Make a cross with your hands or your arms. God's light shows, this was B's idea, what's good behavior. Okay? We'll talk about that more like next week, but walking in the light, loving your brother, okay? God's light shows others who we serve. Okay, let your light still shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation, right? God's light is found in His wonderful word, all right? Let's see how well they do, okay? You sing with me, okay? Can you help me? Ready? Ready? I'm going to face this way, though, okay? All right, because I want to watch them, all right? Having no darkness, God is light. God's light shows us what is right. God's light shows we need the Savior. God's light shows what's good behavior. God's light shows others who we serve. God's light is found in His wonderful word. All right? Do you think they did it good enough? Oh, come on. Should they sing it one more time? Okay, ready? All right. You ready? I want to hear you say it real loud. Having no darkness, God is what you light. Right? Ready? Okay. Having no darkness, God is light. God shows us what is right. God's light, we need the Savior. God's light shows what's good behavior. God's light shows others who we serve. God's light is found in His wonderful word. All right, let's give the five kids a hand. Okay, you can go sit down now. Thank you. It was hard to get all the concepts in one thing. The good thing is Savior and behavior kind of rhyme.